Please. Okay, I think we've got a bunch more motions to get through this afternoon. Before we get to those, I am going to go to Mark Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the indulgence of the chair and the council, I wish to move to reconsider the vote on the previous motion to adopt 2013 quotas on the U.S.-Canada resource understanding. I voted in the affirmative. I voted in the affirmative in the belief that the previous motion to amend had failed. So that's my reasoning. So that's it.
Is there a second to that motion? Dave Preble. Gene?
Oh.
Any discussion on it? Mary Beth.
It was a little difficult to hear you, Mark, and so I was wondering if you could provide that rationale again. I just couldn't hear all that you said.
I'm sorry. I voted in the affirmative on the final motion in the belief that the motion to amend had failed. Had I not had that impression, I would have voted the other way. You know, fair disclosure.
Further discussion. Okay, I call a question on the motion to reconsider. Roll call.
This is just a vote on whether to reconsider or not.
All right. So this, we need some procedural guidance here. We hardly ever have a motion to reconsider. So
the question was that they needed some procedural guidance.
What's the question?
Well, we have a motion to reconsider. Is that that's non-debatable?
No, I think it's debatable.
Okay, that would be the first question. And the second question is, if we vote to reconsider,
then the motion is back on the table. Motion to reconsider, positive vote, doesn't mean that you've re-voted in favor or against the original motion.
But at some point, there will ultimately be a vote on whether you're in favor or
of the actual substantive motion. Yeah.
Then I would request, when that vote is taken, it be a roll call.
Anyone else? Laura?
In full disclosure, I misvoted too by abstaining and would have voted in favor to motion to amend. Am I allowed to change my vote from abstention in the reconsider? Okay.
Anyone else? PK?
So just a point of process. Are we voting on the amended motion or the main motion? The main motion.
Right now, we are voting to reconsider. If the vote passes, then the that vote is back on the table. If it fails, we're done.
Final vote. Final vote. 11:50.
Anything further on the council? On the motion to reconsider, all those in favor? Nine in favor. Opposed? Eight. Opposed. The motion to reconsider passes.
Let's get the motion.
Okay. Is there...
That's the reconsidered motion.
So that's the motion. Is there further discussion on this? Dr. Pierce.
Okay. Yeah, I assume that over lunch there would be an attempt to do this, and obviously there has been success, which is very unfortunate. Someone has obviously changed their mind on this, maybe more than one. Let your conscience be your guide. I won't restate everything I stated this morning except to say that the motion that we adopted early, before we broke for lunch was the appropriate one. And I suspect that when all is said and done and we have additional scientific information being brought forward to assist us with our discussions as to what the status of the stocks really is, we will discover that the larger number indeed was justifiable, as it is right now because of the SSC position, giving us an ABC. Not an OFL, but it's an ABC. And where do you get an ABC from? It goes down from an OFL. So there may not have been a conscious statement to give us an OFL from the ABC, from the SSC, but they gave us an ABC, which is their responsibility. And it's the 1150 as an option, as a choice.
I'm just going to make one comment so that people understand. There may be people who over lunch changed their mind. The individual in question came to me immediately after the vote when we had closed down just before lunchtime and had also spoken with general counsel to ask him his input on that. So they realized that a mistake was made and wanted a chance to redo it. Further discussion? Dave Gatham.
Yeah. I certainly respect that people are deeply divided on this subject, but if you don't send a message at some point, you can't fix what's broken. You really have to stand for something or you're going to fall for anything. Thank you.
Anyone else? Matt?
I just want to think down the road. If we want to have a chance to renegotiate this allocation in the future, we need to not be defiant of the agreement now. And it's a hard issue, and it's a brutal issue. I'm thinking down the road as well as I'm thinking about today and tomorrow. And I think if we can have any chance to get a better deal with the Canadians on this for the future of this fishery, we need to think carefully about this motion. Thank you.
Mary Beth and John.
We talked several times about the track process not working for us and the need and the change in circumstances with the Reauthorized Act and to go back to the Canadians. Well, that came up in our last meeting, and they have zero interest in doing that in our current situation. Zero. If we do this, that might change that discussion. So looking down the road, I think this motion would support getting us there quicker than the current process. And I continue to support the motion.
John Bowler.
Given the opportunity of this vote to reconsider, I'd like to, and mindful of my responsibility in National Standard 1 and 2, that is, we can't allow overfishing, and we're supposed to use the best available science. I'd like to take advantage of the fact that we have the head of the Fishery Science Center here to ask him what he thinks about 1150 in terms of those two standards. Does 1150 represent best available science, and does it does it constitute overfishing? Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bullard, good question. There's no question that there are outstanding questions about the science and about the condition of the stock. It would be really inappropriate to suggest that this was an exemplary stock assessment in the sense of really not encountering any problems or concerns or not feeling that there's a need for improvement, because there very clearly is need for improvement. The challenge that we're faced with is that the stock is clearly at a point of very low productivity. It is not rebuilding. It is not performing in the way that it performed in the past. And that's when there's always a quandary, or often a quandary, with stock assessment, because the extent to which the historic data tells us about what might happen in the future and the value of historic models to predict what is going to happen in the future are less than if this had not been the case. So in the longer term, we're committed, of course, to looking for better ways to characterize the condition of the stock. In the shorter term, the assessment process does represent the best science that we can bring to the table, both of our own accord and collectively with the science. And so the recommendations that come from the track are best available science. And I think that answers the question.
Thank you for your patience, Mr. Chairman. I forgot to mention one thing. I believe the regional administrator, I believe John, in all good faith, is going to, maybe already has, have some discussions with the Canadians regarding trading yellowtail for haddock. Well, I submit that it very well may be, it's my understanding, that the Canadians have a directed fishery on yellowtail flounder, in contrast to previous years. So I don't believe that we should bet on the Canadians being willing to give up yellowtail in exchange for haddock. They have a directed fishery on it. They might not want to do that because their fishermen have already got their fish, and why would their fishermen want to give it up? They have a directed fishery. Plus, my understanding is they're going to fall short of their haddock take, so why would they want to trade haddock for yellowtail? So I submit that if there's any belief that we'll get what we need through trading, that very well might not happen. So that should be considered by all of us as we vote on this. I don't believe the trade will bear any fruit.
Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's been a lot of compelling evidence, both for and against increasing the quota to 1,150 pounds. However, the thing that really decided it for me was a little more simpler in that we're going to make a big cascade of decisions today and tomorrow based on whatever number we choose. And I just feel that the 1150 is not that defensible. We'll spend a lot of time making decisions based on a number that will, in the end, have to be changed.
Dave.
Thank you. I wasn't going to say anything, but I guess I will. The 1150 is not, it can't be approved. It's not approvable. Putting it on the table now is quixotic, and I don't think that quixotic demonstrations are really the way to go.
Anyone else? Roll call vote.
Please read the motion on the board and answer yes, no, or abstain. Mary Beth Tooley.
Yes.
Terry Stockwell.
No.
Laura Ramsden.
Yes.
John Quinn.
Yes.
Dave Preble.
No.
David Pierce.
Yes.
Matt McKenzie.
No.
Pete Kendall.
Yes.
Doug Grout.
No.
David Gaisel.
Yes.
Mark Gibson.
Yes.
Tom Dempsey.
No.
John Bullard.
No.
Frank Blount.
No.
Vincent Balzano.
Yes.
Terry Alexander.
Yes.
Mark Alexander.
No.
Motion carries 9-8.
Okay. Motion carries. We're back to Terry.
Okay, on to another easy one. Approval of the allocation method for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder. It's a committee motion, and the motion is to recommend to the council that the preferred alternative for allocating Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder be set at a fixed percentage of George Bank Yellowtail Flounder of 16% for the scallop fleet. Motion carried 4-3-2.
Committee motion doesn't require a second. I am going to go to the audience for comments on this and then bring it back to the committee. Ron?
Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. Basically talking to this issue as a technical consultant. I think the attorneys for the Fisheries Survival Fund will discuss the official position, if you will. I've been bothering Tom a lot over the past week and Amy, Van Patten, and others to try to figure out what the actual pluses and minuses are of going down this path. And a couple of things up front. I've been arguing that we need a baseline approach and not a projected approach. And I still firmly believe that. There's tremendous problems with projections. Even this morning, the Oracle in Woods Hole had changed the numbers on us. It's very hard to predict where fishing effort's going to go. So it needs to be a baseline if, in fact, we're going to be allocating stocks in that way. The 16% number, I think the number would be more appropriate at 23%. I'm not going to make that argument right now. I think the key thing in choosing the number is that we have transferability, which means almost near real-time accurate information coming from the both fleets on what the catches are, what the catches will be needed to complete the year, and have the mechanism to move the yellowtail from the scallop fleet to the groundfish fleet. So I have no problem with that. The problem I have is 2013. We're living with a very bad number, so we're not living reality. The fact is the fish are there. We're going to catch them. So it's 16% of a false number, and this is going to create a problem. The problem we want to avoid is triggering that 215 metric tons because that shuts down the groundfish fleet. We're talking 457,000 pounds of yellowtail for 2013. In fishing year, previous fishing year, 2011, where we have complete data, we were talking 2 million pounds. So what's the consequence of shifting this yellowtail? And Tom addressed that to some extent this morning. I am able to have a little bit more liberty to look at the numbers in a different way. First, the impact on scallops. There's two alternatives we're going to be looking at, alternative 2 and 4. One, in the old numbers, needed 134 metric tons of yellowtail. The other needed 73 for a difference of 61 metric tons or 137,000 pounds. Now we're talking, with the new numbers, that the difference is roughly 70,000 pounds of yellowtail. The consequence of that 70,000 pounds of yellowtail not being available is $18 million in scallop landings. Okay, those are the numbers. So 70,000 pound number, 70,000 pounds of yellowtail, $70,000, I don't know, $100,000, 18 million pounds of scallops. So the consequence that needs to be evaluated, what's the consequence of shifting 70,000 pounds of yellowtail? So I was looking at the aggregated sector data because that's all I could look at. And I'm looking at the FY 2011 numbers, fully realizing that we're talking almost an 80% reduction on yellowtail in those numbers. And I noticed that some sectors are capable of getting their haddock with a lot less yellowtail. Matter of fact, one sector is able to use 1 pound of yellowtail to get 21 pounds of haddock. Another sector, it takes 1 pound of yellowtail for 1 pound of haddock. So I think the haddock catch will not be limited at all by shifting 70,000 pounds, 100,000 pounds of yellowtail. What gets harmed is the other flatfish. Winter flounder, plaice, the other flatfish that would be caught with the same type of gear that you go target flatfish with and you catch yellowtail. I think you could avoid yellowtail bycatch in the more pelagic fish and live within that limited poundage. It's going to be a close call. The real problem that I have is, you know, everybody says it's a catch share pro. You know, I tried to say, hey, let's put in other measures such as limit the areas that we know have high yellowtail bycatch, seasonal closures. And we say, oh, we have a catch share system. We don't need that. We don't have a catch share system. The Pacific Coast has a catch share system, 100% observers. 4 out of 5 trips here are not observed. So, you know, trust but verify. To get through this year, it's going to be tough. There are going to be cutbacks. The scallop fishery already has taken $200 million up front, and certainly the ground fishery is going to take it. But I think that it's not... We know a disaster is giving 34 metric tons of yellowtail to the scallop fleet. I had hopes that the scallop fleet would be able to resist the fiasco that ultimately is, if we don't get our act together on multi-species, is going to drag down that fleet. I was hoping that we wouldn't drag down the scallop fleet with it. Now, I'm not so optimistic that that's going to occur. We need to be able to just make sure we could transfer yellowtail, and we need to make sure that the scallop fleet has the tools in 2014, which is access to the northern edge, which is the correct seasonal strategy for when to go out and fish, and possibly some gears and changes to boundary lines. Right now, though, if you vote this motion and stick with that 2015 metric ton number, you're going to collapse both fisheries. There's no doubt about it. If you shift yellowtail to the scallop fleet, give it what it needs for alternative two, that fishery will be able to make it through, and I think the losses in the ground fishery will amount to several million dollars. To me, to make that decision, you even need an analysis. You don't need me here with just my little piece of paper. You need a detailed analysis. You don't have it. So you're in a tough position. I hope you make the right choice. Thank you.
Jim.
Jim Odlin, owner of a small family-run company that operates 5 fishing vessels that fish on George's Bank quite a bit during the year. Haddock has been our bread and butter for many years now. So yellowtails is very important to us in order to access the haddock. So far this year, we've only caught 5% of our yellowtail allocation and 11% of our cod. However, that's by design. That's what sectors are designed to do, is to allow people to manage their fisheries as they see fit in order to come up with the best yield out of the fisheries. And I submit that the sectors are doing that job currently. So just want that there. You know, when I sat on that side of the table for quite a few years, I always tried to stay consistent with the way I was doing things. And that started at the very beginning when we first started allocating resources. And I think we have always allocated resources based on historic catch. So I think you should stay with that. We allocated the general category scallop fisheries based on its historic catch. We allocated the haddock cap to the heron fisheries based on its historic catch. We allocated the recreational fisheries its share of groundfish based on historic catch. So that has been a consistent way of allocating resources through many years. And I don't think you should change it. In fact, I think if you do change it, you're going to have some serious way to justify it, because it won't be fair and equitable. I mean, it's not about dollars. You cannot allocate resources just based on economics alone. You have to look at fair and equitable and social and economic. So I think Ron was right. You're going to lose several million dollars worth of groundfish if you go with the 90% of need or whatever the other options are. So at the end of the day, I think you need to split off. Another subject is you need to split off management of scallops from management of yellowtails. They're not the same. You shouldn't be managing your scallop resource based on availability of yellowtails. You should set your quotas in fisheries based on the amount of scallops that can come out of it, and then figure out, the industry has to figure out how they can operate with the whatever the bycatch cap of a particular species is going to be going forward. And that will happen if you do it. We know that this projection stuff hasn't worked. Ron was right on that. You need a baseline. You need to get this done for the council's sake once. You can't be sitting here every single year redoing these projections and running over and trying to figure out how to do this going forward. So I submit you need to figure out a way to set a baseline. And picking a historic catch baseline, and by the way, the highest year in recent times, which isn't how we did it in other times, which is 16% is the highest year, is a very rational and real way to do it. We understand there's not enough yellowtails, but in order to get over this hump, I think somebody ought to think about a compromise, and I'm in support of this motion. Well, I'm in support of you fixing a fixed percentage and getting it done for the council's sake and the industry's sake going forward, so we can move on and figure out the other mechanisms of how to make this work. But I think you ought to consider, and I saw some numbers here that just came out today, that the scallop industry could probably work next year with 40% of the 212 tons. So I think somebody may want to think about a compromise, but fix everything in place, that they would get 40% of the allocated yellowtails for 2013 and then 16% thereafter. It gives you 1 year to get over the hump. It's ratcheting down. It's getting the job done for the council's point of view for a longer period of time. You're done with this. Then they have a percentage. They will reduce their bycatch. That will happen. The current system, that's not happening. You know, we heard a lot about how they came up with this, and it's good work, the hot spots and the management that they're doing. But what forced that on them was a cap on the access to the eastern area when we had it back at 10%. Otherwise, it would have never happened. And that's what got them to where they are today. Right now, if we gave them 90% of the need, I never thought that should have been approvable in the beginning. How can you give one segment of the industry 90% of what they need and another segment of the industry 1% of what they need? That just doesn't make sense. So I think that somebody might want to think about that as a compromise, and I would support that. And if that isn't going to happen, then I support a fixed percentage, and then, you know, there'll have to be some mechanism for the scallop industry to adjust as far as trading. And by the way, we had that on the table here 3 years ago. And who killed it? wasn't the groundfish industry that wanted to stop the trading of groundfish to scallop, as it was the scallop industry didn't want to do it. And they actually wasted a lot of our time on that issue. So that's where I am. Thank you.
Peter Hughes.
Thank you. Peter Hughes from Atlantic Cape Fishers in Cape May, New Jersey. A couple of things. I don't have any confidence in the Georgia's Bank yellowtail stock assessment, nor do I support anything less than the determined need of yellowtail, Georgia's Bank yellowtail flounder for the scallop fleet. We are taking huge reductions in our allocation this year, the scallop fleet, and we're able to take those and able to actually swallow those because we have a lot of confidence in our science, in our industry-funded research surveys. It's a little bit of an easier pill to swallow for us. We may not necessarily like it, but we see the need for it. But that's because we have a great deal of confidence in our surveys. The yellowtail stock assessment, I just don't, you know, with all the debate that's gone on here for well over an hour and a half today, sounds like a lot of people don't have a lot of confidence in it. And I don't know why that's, you know, if you don't have confidence in it, then we need to be able to do the right thing. Both of these fisheries need to remain whole in some sense. Being allocated 16% of the 216 metric tons, 215 metric tons for a total of 35 metric tons is failure. I mean, we could take the twine tops out of our dredges, and we're still going to supersede that. We're still going to catch more than that. It's not viable. There's not much incentive there. There's just not. Again, we have great confidence in the scallop surveys, and by having that confidence, we can accept a smaller allocation to the scallop fleet. But with not having any confidence in the stock assessment on Georgia's Bank yellowtail, it's very, very difficult for us to move forward and thinking that this is the way to go. Thank you.
Truman Cavage.
Thank you. Truman Cavage, Fishery Survival Fund. First, I want to talk about a macro issue, and that is that we've been debating this issue for several weeks and months based on the assumption of projections that we had before, and to receive brand new projections the day of what is supposed to be the final vote on this is a very troubling matter. And I know the people who work on this work very hard. The person Woods Hole works on it, she's a very talented, very good scientist, but she is human like all of us. And for a $500 million industry on one side and the groundfish fishery on the other, being dependent on one person doing this work isn't acceptable. And so to the Science Center, we need someone else who can look at this and know what they're looking at and put a second set of eyes on numbers before you made them public. I mean, this is embarrassing to have numbers that come out that are so drastically different the day of the decision. You need to put the resources here to actually make sure that someone is taking a second look at the product that we're receiving. Because, I mean, these are totally different numbers and totally changes the conversation. And now we're told, well, these ones are right. And I hope they are. But this isn't the first time this has happened, nor is it going to be the last time it happens. And just to have one person doing numbers isn't any way to do it. You know, everything has to be double-checked. You know, these are complicated formulas with lots of different inputs. Someone else should be looking at it. So to be going forward in this manner in the future is unacceptable. To an earlier issue of the overfishing limit and whether or not the previous two votes that said we could go to 1150, the SSC never set the OFL. It's still not set. And there's a lot of talk about what the law requires. The law says you can allocate up to an amount not to exceed what the SSC says you can. The law is very clear about this. Yes, it is, Gene. And so the law doesn't say that the Northeast Fishery Science Center gets to then, in the absence of the SSC, set the OFL. So you all need to ask the SSC to actually give you an OFL that's associated with the 1150. That's how we resolve that conundrum. And they are meeting on Monday. They can do this. So that's how we move forward on this issue, because the law clearly states the council can set an allocation up to but not to exceed the amount the SSC sets for it. That's what the law says. The SSC gave you a number of 1150 that you're allowed to go up to. They also said that it should be for bycatch-only fishery. So how do you address that? And that's a discussion you all have to have. As for this motion here, we don't support it. While under 1150, it gets us pretty close to what our new estimated need is under Alternative 2, the preferred alternative selected by the SCOP committee. Obviously, with the situation we're in, while even though the council voted twice to affirm 1150, the agency has made its position pretty clear. We'll have those discussions. We'll duke that out. But in the chance that it goes down to the 500 number and the 215, then 16% becomes 40%. And this in line shows you the real problem with using a percentage-based approach to begin with. This year shows you the problem with using a percentage-based approach. Percentages work when you have consistency. When things are, but percentages don't work when you have a stock that's dropping 80% over 2 years, because then percentages get thrown completely out of whack. What doesn't get thrown out of whack is absolute poundage numbers. So what the projection says is 85 metric tons. That's 17% at one level, 40% at another. If you want to move forward in a way in this uncertain time that we're in, I strongly suggest that someone consider putting a motion forward that says the allocation will be 85 metric tons. That way, you don't have to worry about this percentage game, say, oh, if it's this or if it's that or whatever it is, it's 85 metric tons. You're done. And obviously, we hope it's just going to be the 17% of the higher number. So that's what I would strongly suggest rather than going forward with this option, which doesn't solve the issue for this year, and it won't solve the issue going forward until we figure out how to properly assess Georgia Bank Yellowtail and bring some stability to this fishery.
Anyone else in the audience? Maggie Raymond, then.
Thank you. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. We support this motion. And I think it's important to also point out to some council members who may not be, who are not members of the Groundfish Committee, is that we're also going to consider a motion later on today which gives 18% of the Georges Bank Yellowtail to the whiting fishery. So there's no question there's a big problem here with this decision. We don't have enough fish for any of these fisheries. I'd like to speak to the suggestion that was made about the 40% or the 100% of the scallop fleet's need. Okay, 40% to scallops, 18% to whiting, that's 42% left for the groundfish fleet. Thank God there isn't a state waters fishery for Georges Bank Yellowtail. Might not be anything left. I wrote you a letter that I hope you will seriously consider under your priorities discussion. We need to move forward with a comprehensive plan to allocate some percentage of the sub-ACL to these other fisheries that catch groundfish and hold them accountable to that catch. As Jim pointed out, we've done that. We did that with the herring fishery. We need to do that with these other fisheries. There's a whole fleet of boats from New Bedford that, when they qualified for groundfish based on their historical landings, they basically lived on yellowtail during those qualification years. They have nothing left. They have nothing left now. They will have zero left under anything other than this motion. So, I totally empathize with the needs of the scallop industry. I wouldn't want to lose that money either. But we can't throw the groundfish fleet under the bus to protect other fisheries. We need to move forward with a fixed percentage. We're not even doing that with Southern New England Yellowtail in this framework. We're still giving them their projected need on that stock. We need to fix this. Give them a fixed percentage, and I think they'll figure out how to live with it. We have to do that. We don't have any other choice, and we're the only ones that are being held accountable. So I urge you to support this motion. I don't like this suggested compromise of 40%. I think, you know, that ends up when you add up the whiting need, it's just too much, and it's not enough left for the groundfish fleet. Thank you.
Jackie O'Dell. Or
thank you, Jackie O'Dell, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We support this motion in the aspect that Framework 48 is supposed to be developing a long-term plan for the fishery. We recognize that there is an emergency for next year. Therefore, there hopefully will be an additional discussion about what to do for the emergency that will take place next year. But in terms of Framework 48 and looking at long-term and having consistency in the way that we're allocating with other fisheries, we agree that a fixed percentage with actually at the high end, originally it was discussed to be 8, but the 16% is on the high end, is something that we support. I also just wanted to make note, you know, the fishermen that we represent have a significant amount of Georges Bank Yellowtail allocation, and it's just been dwindling down year after year after year, and many of our members are already tied up at the dock, but they still have something that they can trade. They still have value with their permits, and they can still, you know, for the guys that just have decided to remain active, they can make a go of it. You know, I think that there's a groundfish fleet out there that just continues to get ignored, especially the guys fishing out of New Bedford and Point Judith and the larger boats that have just been harmed greatly by the reductions that have taken place over the last 10 years. I mean, 10 years ago, we were talking about having a rebuilt resource. We were having parades jumping up and down that Georges Bank Yellowtail was rebuilt. You know, U.S.-Canadian sharing agreement is largely based on the percentage of the shares, is based on the belief that this was a rebuilt stock, not a stock where we were going to be in a fishery disaster today. So I strongly urge the Council to support this as a long-term plan in Framework 48 and then think of another action that may need to take place for dealing with the emergency that we could have take place next year. Thank you.
Vito. David Ferula.
Thank you, David Ferula, for the Fisheries Survival Fund. The issue here, is going back to the Survival Fund's discussions and its letters, is there's really not enough to allocate at 218. When you don't have enough to allocate, the decision becomes about access to the fishing grounds. And that's what we're trying to solve here, is equitable access to the fishing grounds. Because the scallop fleet has had access out there for as long as the groundfish fleet has. It is a shame that the directed yellowtail guys in New Bedford are having these difficulties. The problem with these difficulties is not the fight between the scallopers and the ground fishermen. It's the crappy 217 number. The way to address that, and I think one of the reasons for the disaster declaration was the fact that there was no Georges Bank Yellowtail. Well, what the council ought to do there, it's not pretend like if you cut a crumb in eighths that there's still going to be something valuable. What the council ought to do is go to the Commerce Department and say, as you prioritize whatever
emergency money that you have, you ought to look to those guys first because they're the ones that have the investment. That's the way to treat them fairly. And it's in terms of the national standards, there's a couple in play. One is optimum yield. And there's optimum yield of the scallop resource that needs to be considered, too. I don't know. There's been absolutely no – you're sitting here making these decisions devoid of any real discussion about the scallop fishery and scallop management. I don't know what the F on Georgia's bank would be if, for scallops. It's probably .0-something if you take this approach. I don't know. Is it – I don't even know if you get to maybe like 0.12 or something in closed area two if you shut it all the way down. You need to look at optimum yield from the scallop fishery, and you also have to look at fishing communities as a whole. And New Bedford as a whole derives a lot of revenue, a ton of revenue, from the scallop fishery, and to close that down, that has its own set of legal infirmities. So we urge you to think carefully about this decision. Again, it's a terrible decision to have to be made, largely due to the bad science. But we hope you make the right decision. Thank you.
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown, Commercial Fishermen Association, Rhode Island. I'm sitting here as a Southern New England yellowtail fisherman, wondering how much of this is going to slide downhill and end up on my plate. I'm thinking that the Georgia's bank tack, no matter where you put it for the scallop, is going to get caught and caught early. And then they're going to come down and start chewing up Southern New England because they have to make a living. I understand that. And people do in this business pretty much what they have to do. There is no mathematical solution to this year that makes sense with the stock assessment that has been performed being allowed to stand and be assumed to be valid. Mr. Karp, if there was ever a time when you said, hold the press, let's launch the boat and do a stock assessment, it's now. We need that. That should be considered one of the forms of mitigation of the money that this industry may receive. It could receive no greater benefit than a timely, focused, single-species stock assessment on this, the ultimate choke stock. We need some help from the Science Center. We need some help from NOAA. And this mechanism, this council mechanism, for all of its good intention, and me as a fisherman not wanting to go after my fellow fishermen's throat and them not trying to go after mine, there's only one solution. We have to change the initial number. We have to get that number up. And it starts with you, and I don't know how else to put it. So I would ask, if you care about this industry, that you will take into consideration my words and act in haste when we leave this room today. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris, your comments deserve a response, and I need to share my thoughts on this with everybody around the table, because we do care deeply about the impacts of these assessments, and we're very mindful of the consequences. Even without sitting through a meeting like this, it's very clear what the broad consequences are of both the condition of the stocks and the numbers that come from the assessments. And I and my colleagues have thought long and hard about how best to deal with this, because it's a very challenging problem. As I mentioned earlier, we know, we understand that the yellowtail stock, like several other stocks, is at a stage of very low productivity, and it has not rebuilt, it has not responded to rebuilding plans. We see this with other stocks as well. And that really creates a huge problem in terms of assessment, because in order to perform an assessment, you have to look and be able to base your assessment on the historic data and on previous assessments and the models that have been used for those assessments. And clearly in this assessment, that was problematic, as it has been in some of the other assessments, because things are changing. We're living in a changing world. We're learning more about the stocks every year. when we look back at what we thought we knew a year ago, we find it looks different because, again, because things are changing and the information that we have, while it's progressing, is in contrast to the historic data. And so how do you deal with that in an assessment sense? There's no magic bullet. We have to find different and better ways of doing these assessments. That I understand and that we all understand. It's not something that we can do overnight. This problem, the particular problem that we see with these assessments, which has been characterized as a retrospective pattern, is seen elsewhere in the country and elsewhere in the world, generally because of these kinds of changing conditions. And one opportunity that we have available to us over the next several months is a process that's being engaged in through ICES, the International Council for Exploration of the Sea, to look at alternative stock assessment models and to apply those alternative models to stocks which are particularly challenging to assess. And the Georges Bank Yellowtail stock, we've put that forward as the U.S. candidate for that kind of scrutiny, and so it is going to get that kind of scrutiny. What that creates for us is an opportunity to bring very broad and innovative thinking from around the world to help us look at how we can improve this assessment. What it doesn't bring is better answers for today or next week or next month. And in thinking about what we might do in the short term, I'm not confident that there's anything new that we can bring to this assessment in the short term. I'm very frustrated by that, perhaps as much as everybody around this table. But I simply don't think that deciding that we're going to do a new assessment at this point with no new information and without being able to bring this broader thinking in is going to get us anywhere. And so I am very committed to doing what we can to improve the assessment and to do it in as timely a way as possible. But I think from a timing point of view, this is the right way for us to proceed. Thank you.
Anyone else? Back to the council. Start with that end. David Pierce.
Okay.
Mary Beth.
Okay. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the Scallop Committee decisions and the motions that were made by the committee with a great deal of input from the advisors. The advisory panel for Scallops has been incredibly helpful. I'm on the Scallop Committee, I'm on the Groundfish Committee, so I've had the benefit of discussions on both sides of this issue, benefit the scallop fishery, benefit the groundfish fishery with Georges Bank Yellowtail allocation. I cannot get away from the fact that tomorrow I'm going to be supporting the committee motion, which is alternative 2 to framework 24, and the numbers that relate to that particular motion and also to the other options the Scallop Committee discussed, once again, is in table 15 of the updated document provided to us by Tom Meese this morning, and that's groundfish document number 13. Now look at that table, and with an objective of trying to find a way for us tomorrow to adopt that alternative, I come to the following conclusion. 16% might work for the scallop fleet with 495 metric tons, which is the amount that would come about from the decision we made earlier this morning about the 1150. That's the U.S. share. It might work, meaning we would be able to adopt alternative 2 tomorrow when that motion is brought forward. However, if we are forced to go to the 215 metric tons, inconsistent with the council decision, then no scallop alternative really is viable. Accountability measures will kick in for the scallop fleet, and we'll have large closed areas in 2014. I think it's 14. The only way to resolve the issue with 215 as what might be forced upon us is to go to 40%. Then we would be close to the medium value of estimated scallop fishery bycatch in alternative 2. We would be able to support that alternative tomorrow. Now, Maggie Raymond made a very good point when she came to the microphone, and she mentioned the small mesh allocation, the committee recommendation of 18%. I'm not going to support that. I'm going to support something much lower for that small mesh fishery. I'll probably go with 10%. So 40% for the scallop fleet, 10% for the small mesh fishery, and then 50% for the groundfish fishery. That's how I envision this. So with all that said, I'd make a motion to amend. And it would be to substitute for 16%, 40%.
Is there a second to that? Very good. Okay, next on the list I had Mary Beth, and then Frank, and then Laura.
I seconded the motion because I support the intent. However, I would ask the maker of the motion to consider substituting the 40% for 85 metric ton. And I say that because that is the number that one would get if you applied it to the 215. But we have a motion that has passed that would have a much higher number. And then if you apply 40% to that, then the numbers don't jive anymore. As you indicated, the 16% probably would work or is in the ballpark if we stick with the higher number. But we know there's a lot of controversy around that, and it's unclear that that would work. So I would ask the maker of the motion to consider just putting the actual number in there, which would be 85 metric ton. And I think we also need to clarify that this is for 2013, and perhaps in a subsequent motion we could figure out what that means relative to the alternatives of the document.
Do you care to respond?
I would agree with the 2013 because 2014 is a different bowl of fish. It's the anticipated need of the yellow of the scallop fleet goes up significantly from 85 to 127 with the medium estimate for scallop fish we catch. The reason why I didn't go with the 85 specifically in this motion instead of the 40% is that with a higher number that we approved, we get closer to the high estimate of anticipated scallop catch in framework 24. So that's why I went with the 40%. And I prefer to keep it that way, primarily because of the discussions we're going to have about the small mesh fishery and the 18%, which I prefer to have as 10%. So I'm thinking percentages. I can't shift onto the hard numbers. I understand Mary Beth's concerns. Her suggestion's a good one, but I'm going to leave the motion as is.
Frank Baum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've heard a lot about being consistent, fair, equitable, and a few other things, and I'm not sure if you look at the council history that we've ever been any of those things. We heard the number of 1150. And we heard the RA say, you know, that's a bycatch fishery. We're not sure what that means. I almost take it it's a non-directed fishery, and it's a no-possession fishery is how I first took that to mean. Whether or not that's what the SSC meant, I don't really know. I know in other fisheries that have hurt fishermen greatly, one would be Southern New England water flounder. We have a landing limit of 303 tons. That's greater than what we're talking about here. We have a zero possession fishery. And one of the reasons we didn't allocate it. We didn't allocate ocean pout. We didn't allocate wolffish. I don't believe we allocated windowpane flounder. And the reason we didn't do that was so if the sectors caught their allocation, it wouldn't shut them down as a choke species. So now we're dealing with a number that's even lower than that we're trying to divide up. I don't think we should be dividing it up. I mean, what happens here if we don't allocate? I mean, we're not consistent. I mean, halibut has one of the lowest tax there is. We still have a fishery. Right now we're at 102% of that quota, and it's in November. We have fisheries that we're not going to achieve the quotas with zero possession. We're not consistent. We're not fair. We're not equitable. We do things every time on the seat of our pants, day to day. And right now what we're going to do is trying to figure out, like, I like the description of how do you cut a crumb. These are the crumbs. We have already said we're going to have no allocations of fisheries that have far lower amounts than this. I don't think there should be an allocation. So my question would be, whoever, what happens if we do not allocate this fishery?
Tom?
Well, with respect to what happens if you don't allocate a fishery, you're still required to have accountability measures that would be effective. So we would have to design some sort of accountability measure for the commercial groundfish fishery. The accountability measure for the scallop fishery would still stay in place. You would still have an ACL, and if you exceeded the ACL, however it was divvied up or not divvied up, you would still trigger accountability measures for those fisheries. We talked about this a little bit at one of the groundfish committee meetings about not doing an allocation and having this be a non-allocated stock, and the groundfish committee chose not to pursue that approach.
Laura Ramston.
I just wanted to respond. I had a question on the motion, but I want to respond to Frank that as a New Bedford processor, we would definitely not be in favor of a zero allocation on yellowtail. And furthermore, we believe, as we see with trying to reopen closed areas that have had 19 long years to be closed, once we lose an allocation, we never get it back. And I think that there are others at the table that could speak to the situation with Farndor Skate. So we don't need to take more New England fish off the menu. No pun intended. My question for the motion, I just want to be clear that the 40%, the new number, we kept it as only being applying to 2013? Okay, thank you.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate Laura's clarification because I guess I was thinking of this, and I think we need to be thinking of this in terms of a permanent solution as opposed to having this meeting 1 year from now where we decide about a still low ACL. I don't think anybody has a delusion that next year we're going to be up to our eyeballs in yellowtail, and this decision is going to be much, much easier. We're going to be right back here looking at a very tiny number making this decision. So I think we need to be looking at it in terms of a longer-term view. And when we do that, I have a hard time understanding why we wouldn't use an average catch over a 10-year timeline. I think there's real positives to a percentage-based approach. We started with that. We had roughly 8% over 10 years, but then we immediately went to the single highest percentage ever caught by the scallop fleet of the Georges Bank yellowtail stock. That's the 16% number. That was 2006. That was 1 year. That's as much as they've ever caught. And now we're saying that as a percentage, that doesn't work. I don't understand that. I think somebody spoke once. Say you take we're carving up this groundfish pie very quickly. It doesn't work for groundfish either. And I don't see how you can basically go with five times the percentage utilization that the scallopers had in the year they took the most yellowtail. That was 16%. I think the only fair, equitable way, the only approach is to take a percentage-based approach, but it needs to be capped to some meaningful number. It can't be a one-off decision about what they need next year. That was sort of that doesn't get us that far away from this 90% projection that I think has clearly not worked. So I oppose this motion. I support the committee motion for 16%. I think that will allow us to move forward.
Peter Kendall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was glad that was my first question, was if it applied just to 2013, so I was glad that was clarified. And I could support the 40%, knowing full well that it would only be for 1 year, and I agree with Tom that we have to set a standard for future years. And that was the reason why the committee motion chose the 16%, because at that time we only had a couple of options on the table. We were looking for more of a 50-50 or 60-40 type split, but at the committee meeting that was not possible. But with this motion, it gets us through to next year, and it helps out scallop industry for next year, but I think in the long term, I would rather see it be down to the 16%. Thank you.
Tom Neese.
So, if I could, just a couple things. I'd like to address, from a technical team standpoint, the issue of the performance of the projections hasn't been worked well. The reality is we've used them once in Framework 44 to set the quotas for Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder and Southern New England Yellowtail Flounder for 3 years, so there's been a total of 6 instances, and in 1 year for each of them, it appears that the estimate was low. So 4 out of 6 times it worked based on what we did in Framework 44. We've updated some of the estimates over time, and those interim estimates have not performed as well, but they weren't incorporated into management. But I'm a little confused on this motion now, because I thought Dr. Pierce, when Mary Beth asked about putting in a number, I thought he said that the reason he wanted 40% was because he was concerned about fishing year 2014. And now people are saying that this motion only applies to fishing year 2013, so it doesn't address Dr. Pierce's point. And I'm also a little confused because everybody's throwing around a number of roughly 80 or 90 tons, but with the motion that was voted this morning of 1150, 40% is 195 metric tons. So it's a little unclear to me what this motion is actually doing, whether people are assuming the 1150 is not going to go forward or the 40% doesn't apply to 2014. And if it doesn't apply to 2014, it's not clear to me what applies in the future beyond that year, beyond 2013, sorry. I'm a little confused on what the motion is actually saying right now.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I am concerned about 2014 in light of the table before us, table 15, where we see in 2014 the estimated yellowtail flounder catch by the scallop fishery will go up in a meaningful way. Now, the 195 or so that you mentioned would actually deal with the 2014, but I'm willing to set that aside for now and anticipate that there'll be some more enlightened discussions on 2014 once we get the new, in quotes, new assessment information on Georges Bank Yellowtail, new data are looked at. Who knows what that will reveal? I'm optimistic. So I'm satisfied with 2013. It seems to be a smarter way to go in light of all the work that's going to be done on Georges Bank Yellowtail.
Doug Grout.
So just to clarify, to the maker of the motion, so your intent is that with this framework, we would only set the 2013 allocation, and we would not set any allocation in this framework for 2014. That's what I wanted to know. What's your plans for 2014?
Yeah, that would have to be another motion. This is only for 2013. Obviously, it has some implications for scallops tomorrow when we talk about what should happen in 2014, because our scallop discussion is 2013 and 14. But I'm willing to set aside that 2014 discussion for now and focus on the immediate need, which is 2013, and the difficulty of, again, dividing up a crumb, which has already been emphasized as a good way to compare the situation. It's not a good situation for all of us. It's a tough decision, but I think this one, the motion to go with the 40%, has some meaning to it, especially since, once again, I don't want to spend 7 hours tomorrow talking about scallops and what alternative to pick when 16% would foreclose any options for us to choose, and we would have to, I think, make some dramatic changes in the scallop committee recommendations and maybe go beyond the recommendations, since there would be no option before us that would enable us to deal with 16% allocation of Georges Bank Yellowtail to the scallop fleet once again if we're forced to go with the 215. I hope not, but that's, you know, what John has already made that clear.
John Quinn.
Thank you very much, and I will be supporting the motion as amended. I think that there's a lot going on in 2013. We have possibly a quite likely a federal disaster money coming in. We have new leadership at the Science Center who's made a commitment to look at a lot of these things and try and go over this assessment. We've got new leadership with John Bullard, so there's a lot of balls in the air here. So unfortunately, I'm looking for a stopgap measure here in the short term. We've got long-term issues that we've got to solve, but we're sitting here with the scallop debate tomorrow and the December 20th meeting. I think a stopgap measure, although not the best thing to do, I think is a necessity here in this spot. Just one possible wordsmithing, I certainly don't want to undercut my state director, but one way maybe you could wordsmith this language would be if you put not less than 85 metric tons and then maybe some percentage above that if the number is not 500 metric tons. So that's a possible language massaging that may get where some people want to go.
Mary Beth Tootley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought that this motion in of itself was fine because I think that everybody's really focused on what is the number for 2013. I mean, that's the bottom line discussion we're having. After we vote this motion up or down, however, we do need to address the alternatives that are in the framework, and this does not. And that is really, to me, a separate conversation. Are we going to choose a long-term plan at this point? Do we think it's the right time to do that, or should we just take no action and defer this discussion and decision to the next framework? So separate discussion, and I know it can be a little confusing about what are we doing here, but that's sort of my take on it, that we decide on this motion because it gets the number out of the way, everybody's focused on what is the number going to be, and then move on to the next discussion relative to the alternatives.
Dave Preble.
Thank you. This discussion is just about what Tom was talking about. He thought it was going to happen tomorrow. It's already happened. This is going from the sublime to the bizarre. 40% of what? We've got a number on the table that we voted in that is not able to be approved. And is that what we want people coming in here tomorrow, scallopers coming in here tomorrow, thinking that that's what the council is doing for them? How late do you think we're going to be here tomorrow? This isn't going to resolve itself. This is ridiculous.
Dave Gatham.
Yeah. I think there are a number of elements to a solution here, some of which I've heard discussed, and many I haven't. We had fixed the stock assessment. We beat that horse this morning. We don't need to beat it anymore. The one I haven't heard discussed by anybody really to any meaningful amount is bycatch reduction. You know, everybody says, give me a number, and that number generally pretty much corresponds to what they think they're going to need. I would submit to you that nothing clarifies the mind in terms of bycatch reduction like being given a number that doesn't give you what you need. You know, having been there a number of times, I guarantee there's a lot of bright, innovative people in this room that will come up with solutions to reducing the bycatch of yellowtails and scallops if they're given a number they can't live with. I do think we should set a percentage for the long term. We can't, I won't be here next year, but you guys can't be here every single year arguing the same thing over and over and over. I thought 16% was a viable number. It's the highest number of a 10-year period. I thought it was a pretty generous donation, quite frankly. And I support that. I won't be supporting this motion. And the last is to create a trading mechanism between the fleets. I haven't heard anybody discuss that. Let's face it, the scallop fishery dwarfs the groundfish fishery in economic gain. They can buy yellowtails. They can buy the groundfish fleet, never mind buy the yellowtails from the groundfish fleet, and still have money in their back pocket. And yet we haven't discussed seriously that ability at all, and I think that's the way to proceed forward. It's to set a fixed percentage right now, 16, then figure out a trading mechanism so that they can buy the rest of the yellowtail fleet, which will pretty much subsidize the groundfish fleet in New Bedford. I would venture that the price will be somewhere between $5 and $10 a pound. And that should keep everybody humming along quite nicely in New Bedford. And then I'll give you one last thing, since I've used musicians a lot here today. to take away from this discussion before it's over, and that's the Rolling Stones. You can't always get what you want. And that's what's going to happen here today. Nobody is going to get what they want out of this discussion. And we ought to just state that right up front. So as I said, I can't support the motion to amend. I think we should go with the 16%. I think we should figure out a way to set up a trading mechanism at this meeting, and that's it.
Well, just a follow-up from my question. For me to support this for 1 year, I need to have something that would be in there for the long term. So as this motion is right now, I can't support it. I would support it if this was a 1 year with the original intent of the Ground Fish Committee that the subsequent year would be 16%. Then if we had some new information next year from a revised stock assessment or something that indicated that it could be, we could divvy up the pie a little bit differently, then I think we'd take another action. But given that we're looking at things for 2014 and 2015, I think we need to have something in here for me to support this motion.
Chairman Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to speak to a couple of points. One about this being a one-year action. I guess I would submit that since circumstances are very unsettled right now, and we're looking at really a major potential downturn in the projections and the quota for this stock, I would suggest that we continue to do this on an interim basis until we have a firmer grip really on the projected yield out of this stock, because this allocation does have so many important implications. I think it is appropriate to do it on a short-term basis right now. I would also point out that, you know, in terms of what's an appropriate basis for allocation, historical catch is always an important consideration in any allocation discussion, but it's certainly not the only consideration, just like the overall economics aren't the only consideration. They're both very important lines of evidence to take into account in making an allocation decision. I don't think there are any magic numbers to be arrived at when we are, as David Fula points out, trying to slice crumbs. You know, it puts the council in an extremely difficult position. But I think trying to strike a balance between the needs of these two important fisheries is probably the best outcome that we can hope for today. I had heard some speak about the concept that Frank Blount referenced about not allocating the fishery out at all. That is, if things are so bad that perhaps we shouldn't make an allocation right now. And yet appreciate the fact that it is important at the individual level to some in the ground fish fleet to continue to harvest the species. So I think arriving at some sort of balanced outcome here is in fact probably the best that the council can hope to do.
Anyone else on the council? Okay, I'll call the question. What? Yeah. Did you want to make a comment on the 40?
This is just the motion of
amendment. That's correct. Okay, call the question on the motion to amend. All those in favor? Five in favor. Opposed? Eleven opposed. Abstention? One. The motion to amend fails. We're back on the main motion. Further discussion? Mary Beth.
So the main motion at 16%, if we were to have our recommendation of 1150, it's probably not a problem. We all understand there's a lot of issues around that number and whether we're actually going to have that be the outcome. If we use 16% and apply it to the 215, then we set up a scenario that's failure for everybody. It's failure for groundfish, failure for scallops. There's no projections for the scallop fishery that do anything except at 16% of 215, they're going to exceed it. And we know it. I mean, it just will happen. And so what's the result of that? I mean, the groundfish fleet, if in season the RA determines it's exceeded, shuts down. Perhaps all fisheries that interact with yellowtail out there shut down. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. And then the AAMs kick in for the scallop fleet in 2015. So we're just ensuring that that's the outcome. I don't disagree with people that a fixed percentage is probably a good long-term strategy, but we're not we need to consider the economic impacts of our decisions for 2013. And, you know, the disproportionate impact for scallops not being landed is extremely high, and we're just setting ourselves up for failure in that year. I can't see how – I cannot support that plan. I think it's a lousy plan, and nothing's going to change. We go with this number, and it's going to impact everyone.
David Pierce.
Well, if the percentage didn't fly, then I'll go with a number. I would move to amend that the preferred alternative for allocating George's Bank yellowtail flounder be set at 85 metric tons for 2013. That, of course, is to the sea scallop fishery. And I make this motion because it puts us in a position, if it passes, to adopt alternative two that will be offered up tomorrow by the sea scallop committee. It's 85.3 metric tons. I rounded it off to 85 metric tons, and that is greater than a 16% figure, which would be 34 metric tons, if, again, we are obliged to go with the 215, it's 79 metric tons if indeed the Council's decision for the 1150, which means 495 for the U.S. fishery, then we would be really in the ballpark. Medium level, not the high level, not the low, the medium, which means that there still is great incentive for the scallop fishery to be very involved in and very supportive with the bycatch avoidance program. So it's a number, not a percentage. Perhaps that would make this more attractive to those council members who voted against the other motion because it was a link to, the percentage was linked to the higher number, the 1150. So.
Is there a second to that, Mary Beth? I'll go to the audience. Any further comments on this? Maggie?
Well, I would submit that this is the motion that just failed.
I just asked counsel that question.
It's going backwards. The status quo is 90% of the need. This is 100% of the need. We're going backwards here. I mean, this is, as I said at the scallop committee, they can have alternative to get as many scallops as they want. They just can't have all the yellowtail that they want. It's just not – they're going to have to figure out how to manage it. And that's not – that shouldn't come off our backs.
Vito.
Certainly to the motion to amend, but also just in general, I just want to – it feels like the discussion so far has been about the need of one of the components, and then we have the situation with the whiting fishery, which is right now on the table at 18%. Maybe someone would push to 10. That's going to end up something like the need. And earlier, Tom Neese put up a presentation that kind of looked at how the ground fishery might fare, not under the directed yellowtail fishery, but if yellowtail was just bycatch in the groundfish fishery, how would they fare economically? And we haven't even talked about that need. You know, we're starting with an 85, which is 100% of the need. 40% is 100% of the need. And we've already had an analysis that I think showed between 150 or 75 ton and 225 ton may be sort of an optimum area there for the groundfish fishery to not have unnecessary losses. Remember, the groundfish fishery, who's been 90-odd percent of this, has lost all of that economic gain. We already know that's gone. You know, going to even zero possession, that's not going to be the problem. People know that the directed yellowtail fishery has been eliminated. So all the economic gain from the directed yellowtail fishery is gone. We're now talking about a ground fishery surviving under bycatch and a scallop fishery surviving under bycatch. And we're starting the discussion with 100% of the need, regardless of the health of the stock, for one fishery, and we're not talking about the need of the other. That's the so we go whiting 10% or 18%, scallops 40%. Or whatever it is, whatever's left over, guys, we're not going to estimate your need. And that's the feeling of the discussion right now. Just wanted to remind folks, we haven't started with the directed yellowtail fishery, or I should say the groundfish fishery and their need.
Drewman Cavage.
Drewman Cavage, Fishery Survival Fund. We support the motion as is written now. First of all, if you don't support this motion, then you go to the underlying motion. Are you really going to allocate less to the scallop fishery than you are to the whiting fishery? I mean, is that in any way an equitable or correct decision? We're going to just throw away the scallop fishery on the basis of just, yes, history is part of what you allocate on, but if you look at that section of the Act, it's one of about 10 different factors. And so you're only going to look at one factor? Just history? Well, that's not what the law says. It says you have to consider all these other issues besides just history. History is one of many. So if you just solely rely on history, you're not in compliance with the law. And then this notion that the scallop fishery isn't doing anything to reduce its catch and we're just trying to get 85 metric tons and go on like everything. I mean, come on. First of all, the allocation we're talking about on alternative two purposely drives as much fish of the fishing as it can, possibly can, out of the Georges Bank yellowtail area to other areas. I mean, the scallop AP put forward the notion of going into the Nantucket lightship. If we were just managing purely for scallops, we would leave the Nantucket lightship completely alone in 2013 so that we know it would be more robust in 2014. But we said, you know, we've got to spread some of this out. We've got to take some out of closed area two and put it in to a Nantucket lightship. That's why alternative one is a much higher yellowtail catch than alternative two. I mean, we're already taking all these actions trying to reduce our footprint. And we had presentations last night on everything we've done. So these notions of people coming up here and saying that we're not trying to do anything, we're just trying to get everything we need, I mean, come on. Enough is enough. Let's get real about what's going on here. We have a very limited amount of fish, and we're trying to do our best to get prosecute a scallop fishery that's already looking at a 30% reduction regardless of what yellowtail is allocated. You're already talking about taking out hundreds of millions of dollars out of the economy, and now you're going to take even more out? That's good management? And the whole history is because we're going to do it because of history. Well, then you're just going to continue your history of failure, because that's all this does is perpetuate failure if you don't accept going forward with something reasonable for the scallop fishery.
Anyone else? Peter Hughes.
Thank you. This has been a very active council meeting. Well, it's worked. We're pitting fishermen against fishermen for crumbs, as the analogy was earlier today. I support this motion for 85 metric tons. By voting for the previous motion or the original motion at 16%, you're voting for failure. You're voting for the scallop fishery to fail. Bottom line. That's what all the projections show. That's what all the mortality projections show. Voting for failure. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Ron?
We're talking the need to move 70,000 pounds of yellowtail, $70,000, for an $18 million return to the scallop fleet. chances are we're going to exceed the 457,000 pounds of yellowtail. That's $457,000 if it's all landed at the dock. And either way, it's going to shut down the ground fishery. The ultimate solution here, if anybody's tried to work with the catch data is no good. So there's going to be, whether it's going to be by lawsuit from outside ENGOs or somebody, the observer levels are going to have to be ramped way up in the ground fishery to get any sort of numbers that it could be used in the models. So the real question is, how do you get through 2013? 16% or 34 metric tons doesn't get the scallop fleet through the year. It costs New Bedford on the order of $60, $70 million in landings. It certainly is going to shut down the ground fishery no matter what. There's no incentive for them not to target yellowtail. There's no I don't have to say it. This is not the solution. I certainly support the long-term baseline approach. 16% is not a high number in a system that allows fish to move from one to the other. Historically, the number was a lot higher. When we talk about projected use means history. It means the calculation of what that fleet would catch if we didn't have rotational fishing and all the other measures that we put into place. So maybe a better motion would be to meet the desire to have a long-term baseline on the table, choose the 16% number. That's something that could be adjusted when we have more data on a table. But you need to put in at least some mechanism to get through 2013, in my view. If you don't, you could cut the scallop catch, OY. That's one option you have tomorrow. But I don't think that's going to be looked on very highly by the scallop industry, because you can't treat one group of fishermen different, cut their OY, and not cut haddock, plaice, winter flounder, and all the other species on the fact that you don't have enough yellowtail to go around. So you have to treat both sides in a similar way. I would hope that somebody, if the issue is that you want to get a long-term baseline in there, put it into this motion and then deal with both issues, long-term baseline and deal with 2013 in the motion.
Jim Allen.
Yeah, just to this motion, I think that the previous motion with a 16% beyond 2013 should be the motion that gets up. This is not going far enough. You need to get this answered long-term for yourself and for the industry, that you go to 40% for 2013, 16% for the years after that, then you're done with that. You let the industry figure out how to adjust to that if that ends up, if the quota stays this low, and they will. They will figure out how to do it. Picking a fixed number is almost what got us here in the first place. We gave 90% of the need, and it calculated at that time back to be 300 tons, and we had that stuck there for 3 or 4 years, Tom, when that wasn't even the intent of the council to do it that way. So I think you need to vote this down and have a motion that says 40% for 2013 and 16% after that. As far as 70,000 pounds of yellowtails being worth $70,000, that's just not true. 70,000 pounds of yellowtails could be worth several million dollars worth of haddock. We have the ground fisheries has the exact same issue that the scallop industry has. We've been having it, and we've dealt with it. Once you get a number out there, I said it before, and it gets to a low common enough denominator, people will figure out how to adjust to this bycatch stuff. And we've done it in ground fish with huge meshes, you know, that don't catch many yellowtails. But every yellowtail is not valued at the dollar value of the yellowtail. It's valued at what you can use that stock to catch with. So some of the arguments I'm hearing is arguing about how valuable this yellowtail is to the scallop industry, and then they come back and go to the table and say, but it's only worth a dollar a pound. Well, that's just, you can't argue it both ways. And I don't want to pick a fight with the guys, but that's, you can't do both. It's one or the other. So this motion I oppose.
Vito?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add that this whole discussion feels like two separate, almost split it. One is the long-term policy, and then we have a 2013 emergency. A lot of the speakers were just saying that. And the longer-term policy is the one's got to be blind of what the ACL is for this current year and what's a fair split between the two fisheries so they get something to work with, then deal with the 2013 problem. I think Jimmy mentioned that, Ronnie mentioned that. And I feel like right now everybody's looking at how to set long-term policy based on the 2013 emergency. And you're coming up with 2013 splits and 2013 numbers, and we don't know, and then we're trying to apply them to the future. So I think the groundfish fishery definitely recognizes that we don't want to be in a situation where both fleets got nothing to work with. That's not the situation. This is a long-term policy issue. Otherwise, there's no sense doing what Framework 48 set out to do. Stay with the 90% of the need. I'm not recommending that. In other words, this is just, you're doing a one-year measure here that could have long-term implications. So, you know, we would favor whatever you want to do to talk about a 2013 measure, but set the long-term policy as I thought what this motion originally coming out of the committee was supposed to do. How do you separate the groundfish fishery for ACLs and AMs? I'm sorry, the yellowtail fishery for AMs and ACLs and sub-ACLs. That's what I thought this was for a longer-term policy until changed.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Mary Beth, I'm going to limit this a little bit. I think we've had the discussion on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with what Vito said, and I thought that's the way I had described what we were doing before, but then no one was happy with that approach to separate out the discussion. What are we doing in 2013, and then have a discussion about the long term? So that's how this motion arrives, because people didn't want to do that.
Dave Gatham.
Yeah, I have a question for Gene, actually. If we were to exempt scallop vessels from the requirement to join a sector, could we, in Framework 48, pass a measure to allow trading between the groundfish fleet and the scallop fleet?
My initial reaction is that would need to be an amendment. It's a whole new concept that doesn't exist in the FMP right now. It's very specific restrictions on trade between sectors only. That presents a whole new concept.
Well, I'm trying to find a way out of this because we're not, we're in extraordinary times here. I understand it has been discussed numerous times, but we've never put it on the table because the scholar fleet didn't want to join sectors. So I'd look for some flexibility here in a way to actually solve the problem. And I still think that's the solution to the problem. It's to set a fixed percentage and to allow trading between the two groups. And then the value of a yellowtail will be whatever the value of a yellowtail is between groundfish and scallops. And we won't have to get into these arguments about you know, who thinks it's worth a dollar, who thinks it's worth $5, whatever. I can't support this motion to amend because I think it's basically the last motion revisited. And I'll call people's attention to the graph that was handed out today. If you draw a line down to 85 tons, from where I draw the line, that's more than alternative two. That's more than 100% of the needs of yellowtails for the scallopers. There should be some requirement of bycatch reduction in this. It shouldn't be you get 100% or even more than 100% of what you need. So I can't support this motion anymore, and I supported the last one. But I would look for a statement from the service about how we could possibly creatively find a way to trade yellowtail between the two fleets and then let the market decide who gets the fish.
Dave Preble, last bite of the apple.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to echo exactly what David said. I think the answer here is we've got to find some way of doing the 16% with transferability. I'm glad that David brought it up first. I also wanted to say that to respond to what Jimmy Odlin, his complaint, We've got a lot of logical fallacies flying around here today, and the idea of the kind of comparison that Jimmy was talking about is known as a false analogy. And when we start throwing in what we might do with whiting compared with what we're trying to do now with scallops, that's another classic fallacy called a straw man fallacy, and we've been hearing a little too much of that stuff.
Okay, I'm going to call the question on the motion to amend. All those in favor of the motion to amend? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Abstention? 1. 5, 11, 1. The motion to amend fails. We're back on the main motion. Peter Kendall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to amend to set the Georges Bank Yellowtail at 40% for just 2013 and then set at a fixed percentage for 2014 and 15 at 16%.
That's seconded by Terry Alexander.
Just if I may, rationale. I mean, it just gives a reprieve for next year. I don't think either the groundfish or the scallop industry will be happy with this. It's a happy medium. It just helps out next year, from what I've heard from the industry out in the audience, from the public, and then it sets a long-term goal for the industry. Like Tom Dempsey had said earlier, that 16% is a pretty fair percentage for the future, based on what they had going back for the catch history over that time. So, thank you.
Anybody have a point to make that hasn't been made at this point? Okay. I'm going to call a question on the motion to amend. All those in favor? Favor. Opposed? 1. Abstention? 1. 15-1-1. The motion carries. We're on the main motion as amended. Tom?
If I might, just to remind everybody of something that I thought I said this morning, but a couple staffers suggested I bring this up. The language of the motion refers to this as a preferred alternative, which is, you know, a NEPA term that means this is our choice that we're going forward. We're not planning to revisit this in December because this is all the excitement I can take. So I just want to be clear that, you know, should this motion pass, the language says preferred alternative, this would be the alternative that would go forward when we submit the document. That's the concept here.
Thank you for that clarification. Everybody understand that? Call the question. All those in favor of the amended motion? The amended motion. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 in favor. Opposed? Abstention? 1. 16-0-1. Motion carries. I think, Terry, we'll take a 10-minute break and come back and tackle one more motion. We should take the rest of the day. inform people that we have 12 additional motions. We need to get those done today. So let's keep focused on what we're doing. Terry Stockwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next issue is approval of allocation amount for Southern Northern Mid-Atlantic Yellowtail Flounder. This, unfortunately, was not an issue that the committee discussed. I'm going to make a motion on my behalf and then defer to Tom for the rationale. So I move that the council's preferred alternative is to allocate 90% of the high estimate of scallop fishery catch of Southern New England Mid-Atlantic Yellowtail Flounders to the scallop fishery for 2013 to 2015.
Is there a second to that? Doug Grout. I'm going to go to the audience for comment.
You might want to go to Tom.
Sorry, Tom.
So just real quickly, in the paper we handed out this morning, Table 16, there are the estimates for the different scallop management alternatives of what this means. You'll notice that in almost all cases, the high estimate ranges between about 60 and roughly 75 metric tons, which hovers around about 10% of the Southern New England Mid-Atlantic Yellowtail Flounder ABC. It's worth noting that the low, medium, high estimates in this case are not calculated the same way they are for Georges Bank Yellowtail. The low is just 10% lower than the medium estimate, and the high is 10% higher. If you'll recall earlier, I said that one out of 3 years, using the medium estimate, we were wrong where we estimated the low number. By choosing the high number, you tend to buffer that to some extent, not a great extent, but to some extent. Now, in essence, the committee hasn't really talked about an actual method for allocating Southern New England Mid-Atlantic Yellowtail Flounder, no programmatic approach. So we are basically doing what we did before, which was each time we need to make the decision, we make a decision. And this one is very similar to the way we made the decision under Framework 44.
Okay, now go to the audience. Any comments? Maggie Raymond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have the same concerns about this motion that we had about the previous motion, but